Hey Margo,
Hey,
how are
how are you?
you?
I'm fine, and you?
Not bad. We have very threatening looking skies. I think in the past hour there were 13 to 14 drops, but nothing. I mean, but it looks pretty dark. I imagine that. Darker generally than it's been. I don't know where you're at, Dan, if you see the same skies out there or not, but
No, we.
I'm just north of the university, and it's the same thing. It's kind of threatening, but few drops, not much.
Well, we've been getting lots of rain in Houston. Yep.
It's kind of the rainy season, isn't it, in Houston during the summer as well, or not?
Yes, it's pretty much rainy all year, but I've driven through some recently that was really awful, but
Yeah, we just haven't. This is as promising a sky I've seen here for weeks. Probably months, really.
honestly,
It seems as if around 7 o'clock we'll hear some thunder somewhere and sort of look up at the sky, and it must be sort of one, reasonably sized thunder cloud, but the rest of the sky is sort of partly cloudy, and you're wondering where in the world. Yeah, it's rather disheartening, I have to say, but
It is.
so is the humidity, Margo, pretty high there, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Goes without stating the obvious, I guess, huh?
It's always a bad hair day.
Yeah.
Yeah, my hair just frizzes. And there's not enough product to put in it to keep it. But
gosh.
I've played some tennis mostly indoors, but I take when I can a clinic on Friday mornings at 7, which is okay, but that's outdoors. And I'm a wet rag when I leave.
I may have mentioned this to you before, but I, as of last January, really, I need to turn my UA email off, or it's just going to keep going on and on and on. I work pretty closely with Ben Fortna
Oh,
now.
okay.
Yeah,
All right.
and I know that you and
Tom,
used to play tennis quite a bit together.
he and Tom did. And then his wife was on our tennis, one of our leagues for a little bit, but I don't, she didn't really pursue it. But Ben's a pretty decent player.
Is he? Yeah. I'm not surprised. He's kind of good at everything he does. So I don't know if he's still playing or not. I haven't
I don't
asked him
know.
that.
We've pretty much lost contact with him.
He rides his bike into work every day, and
Well, they don't live too far from
they
the
don't. Yeah, they don't. So good.
So it's the Chinese Turkish connection.
They are
Is
right.
that
Yeah. Well, we've established what is called a new a school of global studies, which
it?
is
Okay.
a new construct. And Ben has been for quite some time the director of the Middle Eastern and North African Studies program, and that program is now part of the school,
Okay.
along with seven other programs that used to be independent. Now they're kind of folded within this school. And I have woken up many mornings over the past 6 months wondering what the heck have I done? But it's okay. I'm not complaining. But it's been Ben's delightful to work with. He's just a real professional.
There's the
Okay.
back left. Now we're getting that.
Oh, lots of echoing. Not with you. How do you pronounce Jason's last name?
Lilienthal, it looks
Was
like.
that
I
it,
think that's,
Lilienthal?
yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay. Where is everyone?
I don't know. They must be having connection problems, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
I
I
see.
think they're struggling to get it going, so
Yeah.
hopefully.
Well, Dan's here, so
There's
I guess.
Dan. Oh, there's Dan.
Okay.
They probably had to switch to Dan's unit, which I know happened last time.
Well, I hope the acoustics are better this time. I had a very difficult time l here understanding what people were saying. I guess they're having. Certainly don't want him to direct a movie for me.
The yeah, I was gonna say the charm of voluntary organizations. All right, we have stability. We have cameras.
Yes. I don't know if. I wonder if Dan heard me.
Looking at now. He turned around. Maybe he did.
He might be giving me the finger under the
Can you
table.
hear us now?
Come on. Can you hear
Anything?
us? Yes.
You can hear us? Okay. And how's the sound?
Pretty good. Much better than the previous
And
meeting.
do you want to say something just to see if it reaches this far? Because it's on my laptop.
Testing, testing. Can you
Do
hear
you
me?
hear
Yeah, but it gets
that?
muffled.
Yeah, I couldn't make, I could hear it, but I couldn't make it out, put it that way.
Okay, we may be stuck with this one that's going to be muffled when other folks talk, unfortunately. Can you mute your sound? Can you all hear us?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
This is the LA
Yeah. It's
all
been a while,
good.
but you know that
Great.
sound, the child of the sun. And he said he'd give me a privilege. It would be a privilege to have us publish it. Next one.
That. There.
I'll get to the line because I was thinking about it. Yeah.
That. There we go.
So this is the meeting notice. You might, there we go. We're going to call to order at 5:42, I think, but I think we're doing great. Briggs is absent. So we have quorum along with Desiree and Jason, and Elaine Hill as guest. Have you all had a chance to review the
Do you have that?
728 meeting minutes.
Yes, and they misspelled my name when I seconded the motion. They have it as Stackheim instead of Sackheim. I've been called many things, but
Yeah.
so I don't know if they can fix that typo. It's not a big deal.
The other thing is, I don't think I was the one that made the motion. I think
No, I seconded it.
No, yes, I just it says I made the motion, but
Oh.
I don't recall doing that.
Which one was
I think that was Briggs. To not approve the proposed plans. Yeah.
And the only question I had was in the summary of the rehab update at the commissary was that we really did ask them to come back to us about the walls that they wanted to demo. I apologize. I'm not seeing it here. I may not be reading close enough. But if that could be added, it would be appreciated. Oh, and I'm sorry, did either of you like water? You have one?
I'm out of it. I'll take one. Thank you.
Yeah, get it. Thanks. Okay. And that was the only thing I missed. Otherwise, they appeared complete for the things that we had discussed.
Oh, the one thing I noticed was no, well, I mean, maybe I'm missing it still, but nothing about the landscape as it refers to the wall in the motion.
In the
So
first
the
motion?
first motion. So there should be something saying there was a lack of a landscape plan for the wall. That's right, for the wall.
Did we try to make that?
That was the first 3A. So and then it was the motion app that follows 3A, so right before 3B.
Anything else, anybody? And then, Desiree, would we just, with those additions, would we be able to vote on approving these minutes?
Yeah, make a motion to approve the minutes with those items revised to be allowed.
Okay. Marzo, can you do that?
You mean second it?
Or can you make the
No,
motion?
no.
Dan, can you?
I move that we accept the minutes, so long as the
There's
defined conditions are included. The defined three,
three
yeah,
revisions.
revisions are included.
Stackheim will be.
Yes, the spelling of Margot Sackheim's name, the inclusion of a landscape plan being one of the criteria for not approving, and what was the
The
third?
recommendation that the or when they before they demo or do anything to the pony walls at the commissary and the
Oh,
Donaldson
right.
House,
Yes.
that they would come back
Yeah.
to us.
Yeah.
All those in are is there a second to that?
I'll second it.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. David? Margot?
Yes, I.
I for me, but I never heard David respond.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, so next on the agenda is the community engagement piece with historic preservation in general. And for me, this topic is multifaceted our intent is to talk about how we perform our reviews and how we can improve that so that I think for all of us, It's so part of it is so that the emotion can be less aggravating for all of us, and that we can be more succinct and
If I can
complete.
just
And here,
jump in
I'm just
there.
going to
Yeah.
let Dan take
Sorry.
this one. I'm happy if you do it.
This is something I approached Mary Lou about after our last meeting, but it relates to the community engagement component, I think, because it may even be a little more than that. It has more to do with our process of how we hold meetings and how we go about making decisions such that we remain objective, and that the points we make when we do come to a decision, that decision is very clear and defensible. Sorry, I have a little spiel here that I've typed out. So the first thing I want to ask is just generally, what did anybody else have comments on the way the last meeting went? Just painting with a broad brush, what did you find favorable? What did you find not so favorable?
So I'll jump in here if you don't mind.
Please do.
So I think what I found I don't know how to quite characterize it. I suppose it was frustrating at a certain level, but and I don't know if this Dan, really addresses anything that's tangible or even can that we can take lessons from. But you asked, or I should say Mary Lou asked for just some responses from our last meeting in that process. I guess I was a little bit concerned that the question before us last meeting, and I'm talking about the pool issue and all of that, that was tinged, and that may be understating it, that it was colored, that it was framed by the process that had gone on in the past. I share those, right? I'm not being critical about that whatsoever, because I was probably at least to the degree that I understood things as frustrated by that whole process. But I'm not sure it was appropriate for us to be bringing up past actions that are water under the bridge at this point, or were water under the bridge. So as much as it may have pained us to disregard what had gone in the past, in many ways I think we were bound to do so. And I think, again, not that I disagree with any of that, but it led to a conversation. There was no conversation, basically. People wrung their hands, and I'm not saying we did, but it just the conversation just ceased. And I was frustrated by that.
Thank you, David. That's re actually really helpful. That's kind of, yeah, with the direction I'm heading. Does anybody else have a comment from either procedural or otherwise? That's kind of where this heading is, procedural.
I was frustrated that the presentation was not formal. There was no formal presentation to us. It was more like, here's the plan, ask us questions. And instead, there really was no presentation plan. And the pool guy thought he was there to talk about, I felt about. He was there to talk only about can I put a pool in or not, when in fact it was a bigger project than just the pool. So that
And
was
I,
frustrating to me.
yeah. Yeah, I think these all kind of, if I could t tag team with Mary Lou, I think that was part of it. It just was The whole conversation just wasn't set up to succeed.
That's a good description.
Whatever the definition of success is, yes, we hear you, we decline, or we hear you, we're persuaded, whatever, right? Whatever the outcome was, it just there was not a pathway to what I felt was a reasonable outcome. And I think part of that was, as Mary Lou stated, was it there was no there was inadequate information provided to the committee in the first instance when we began to review these things, presumably ideally with the help of some type of a more formalized presentation to the board from the applicant. So I guess maybe this sort of spins around to a question of, and now maybe this was just because of the whole past. Maybe this was just sort of an unavoidable unavoidable kind of outcome or conflict or whatever, I don't know. But it does seem to suggest that there was, and again, this is, I don't know if this is nobody's fault, but it seems as if there could ha that the presenters could have been, and maybe they were, but they could have been better briefed or better prepared for what we were expecting as a board from them. Now, again, maybe they were already told that and they just abjectly ignored it. I don't know.
So just to
You want to go ahead? Can I suggest you go around and ask Margosh's comments and
that'd be
comments?
great,
I have
actually.
comments. Okay. Margot?
Well, I have to agree with both Mary Lou and David. I thought, it was confrontational, really, more on the presenters or the person, involved with the construction and wanting the pool in there. And I, he withheld information. He sort of lied or about certain issues about backwashing, et cetera. So I really think David nailed it, because it's the history behind the whole permit process with the construction of the building and everything. And I just don't, it was a no-win situation. I don't know if you've experienced that in other cases, but this was probably the worst. And I can't add any more. I think you nailed it, both of you.
Elaine, did you have something? When I think about other cases that are presented, especially by professionals, they're presented with a deck, basically. They have a deck. They talk about
You
how
mean like a
things.
slide deck?
Yeah, slide deck. Talk about how things are compatible or not compatible, how they meet, they comply with the other issues in the development zone. I believe there should be much more of a framework for review than what was presented there. An applicant who comes in and says, "I'm not going to do a presentation. Do you have any questions?" And that is our experience with that applicant for 2 years. And I think that there should be also a framework on the board side to say, "Let's hear your presentation. What are you? How are all these different aspects of your proposal compatible with this historic zone?" And there should also be some means by which to say, and if you're not prepared to talk about that, then we're not prepared to review it. But the other question I had is, when did you get the plans? What opportunities the board have to review the plans in
Prior to the
advance?
meeting. So, funny enough, you all touched on exactly the things that I was hoping to propose today.
I have to ask you, can you pipe in on this? Do you have an opinion before you,
Oh,
because
sure.
is that okay?
That's fair.
I think because we do have some things in the works. So what you're saying is exactly kind of what some of the things I've noticed as well. So one thing that we will bring to you is a draft executive summary. So I'm hoping to create an actual written report for each item that comes before the boards. That summarizes the case, provides that background information, that looks at the standards. From our perspective, what is now, obviously we're coming to you for your recommendations, so we're not writing you recommendations or providing us recommendations, but there's still, I think, some need to package it in a way that provide that context, background, our initial thoughts, right? Any red flags we might see, present that to you in a way that is digestible. And I think that's pretty typical. I've worked into other planning departments and preservation offices, and that's something that's very standard is a staff report.
Okay. And would it include, Desiree, the information that you've garnered from the presenter? So while you're giving us something structured, do they have to give you something structured?
So it would provide us all the things that are required. So plans, elevations, things like that. And that's something else that we're looking at too. What are the items that are required and revisiting that? We do have an instructional on our website that they're supposed to provide XYZ. But we're re-looking at that. Yes. Looking at those things that are on our website, right?
Oh, we do this.
But one other thought that we, talked about. So there have been different directions I've given to preservation staff over time. I think there used to be some form of a staff report, and then it wasn't. The direction was just give a verbal summary at the beginning. I feel like that's not enough. That isn't enough.
We agree.
bringing something back in written form. But also, I think, in my experience, it's usually staff that give the presentation. It's not the presenters. But I think in a lot of times, we do have some professionals that, are repeat. Like, they come to you a lot. They know the drill. But a pool in this case, for example, someone from the pool company, they're probably not used to coming and preparing, and they don't understand preservation standards, right? Like, that's our job, that's your job, that's the preservation program's job, is to do that evaluation, not them. Like, they're here to present their case, but they're not here to talk about Secretary of Interior standards, right? Again, some professionals, preservation architects, are going to have that knowledge and be able to make the case for themselves over the projects. But I do think that is our job to analyze the project and not necessarily put it on applicants to do that.
And I've done this for 20 years. I've never had the city staff present.
And the one thing I would say to that is that the applicant, in most cases, is typically the one who's most familiar with the property. Mm-hmm. So basically, and that I think is far more valuable to us in a lot of ways. So for instance, if it's a homeowner, I'm trying to think of a good example, but let's say an old adobe house somewhere on Fort Lowell, the homeowner comes and says, oh, I've been living there for 20 years. They know the ins and outs of that house better than anybody, better than their architect, better than the city does, better than their designer, so on and so forth, right? And so if they're the applicant, I think we really want them to be the ones to say, here's why I want to do this. And what I think would be best, and I'll sort of get to this, what I think would be best to have from the city is to guide them through that process. And I just sent to David and Margo and Dan the documents that I just handed out, which I'll get to in just a second. But one of those, for instance, is a presentation rubric, which should help homeowners, architects, designers, whoever the applicant may be, should guide them through what they need to include in a presentation. And my goal, as you'll find at the end of this, is that maybe if we can work with the city to publish that, and then you guys can work with them to make sure those are included before they get to the meeting. Just to take another step back to what we were just talking about as far as the way the last meeting went, all of that, I think, was very true, all of what was said. The one thing I would say is that we need to challenge ourselves to understand our role and what went wrong there. And so what I wrote here is that I think that there were good points made, but they were not made clearly or concretely enough. And more importantly, the points made were not made objectively or defensively. So there was a lot of emotion in each of the points made, understandably so. But what I think that leads to potentially is that it makes our board appear disorganized at best and potentially irrational or biased at worst. And so the folks further down the line, those in the review process that come after us, for instance, the PRS, the city staff, city manager, they look at our advice, our meeting, and say, I don't know. I don't know if we can give that much credibility. And I think that's where we have a big problem right now. In regardless of whether it's an emotional topic or not, we need to make sure that our credibility is perfectly sound, that we are making decisions in a way that is much more litigious and concrete. Much more unbiased, let's say. So I think I have a few suggestions on how we can run meetings more smoothly, so that the arguments made against an application or for an application are objective, defensible, and complete. The more impartial and coherent our decisions and the points made therein, the more defensible and agreeable they will be to others in the review process. Just as an example, you know, I think last week there was a lot of, well, I feel this, I feel that. And while that's a fine way to make a point, to get your opinion heard in a lot of other settings, in this setting, we need to say X does not comply with our guidelines because these reasons, not we feel or have some, you know, opinion that it might not fit. It needs to be concrete. If you're amenable to these suggestions that I'm about to present, I'd like to formalize them by making a motion to adopt them as rules of procedure at our next meeting. And this is made possible under UDC 2.2.8, Historic Preservation Advisory Boards, Subsection B, Administrative Functions, Subsection 5, Rules of Procedure. Each HPZ advisory board may adopt rules of procedure necessary to carry out its function. Copies of such rules will be filed with the city clerk and made available to the public through planning and development services. So I have three rules that I think we could adopt to help. The first you'll see in front of you is the meeting rubric, and that's just for us to review and to use as a tool every time. So hopefully whoever's holding the meeting, be it the chair, the co-chair, or, you know, somebody else is doing it, they can read from this document, and this will be the same every time we have a meeting. Every way, which way we do it, everybody gets the same treatment. There's no bias toward how the procedure goes throughout the meeting. The second component is this presentation rubric, which is pulled directly from the checklist found on the city's website, which I also sent. That is basically just a descriptive document of that checklist. So how applicants can... And this is, all of these are open to amendments, changes, whatever you see fit that I forgot or that you think needs to be nixed. I'm happy to do it. But I think having some kind of a presentation rubric for applicants gives them the ability to come much more prepared, say, than they were last week. And if they are unable to do that, then we can. The goal would be that we would say, we can't review this right now. If you can't present this in its full form, we would ask that if you would like a continuance, then you can tell us. Otherwise, we're going to go ahead and vote on this right now. And that's we can go through these documents too if you'd like. It probably isn't a bad idea, at least to go through the meeting rubric. Finally, the preparation requirements. I didn't print those out, but I can read that. And I sent that over to you all, but I don't have it open. Hang on just a second. So the biggest shortfall is as far as, and this is a very short list because I have only had one item on here. But if you have other items that you think should be included in these preparation requirements, please tell me. But it reads as follows. The following are points of procedure that are required prior to an application being reviewed by the board. The city cannot fulfill these. If the city cannot fulfill these requirements, we will not take action on the item. Board members shall receive the full application package not less than 1 week, 7 days prior to the applicant's presentation at the monthly board meeting. If a full week, 7 days is not allotted prior to the presentation, we will vote to table the presentation until the next meeting. So again, this if this is a rule of procedure, which we are allowed to make, I think that kind of forces the city's hand, as it were. Sorry to do that, but to give us some further time to prepare, which I think has been very lacking. I think you know, we sometimes get the plans the weekend before, the Friday before, and it I just don't think anyone has time to really review it thoroughly if it's only 2 days. So the final thing that I want to mention before I go into this meeting rubric is the other thing that will really help us, I think, to run our meetings a bit more smoothly is if we take advantage of the times we don't have reviews. And if we say, oh yeah, well, there's no reviews this week, let's cancel the meeting, we don't need to have it. That's an opportunity to educate ourselves on what is Fort Lowell, right? What makes Fort Lowell, Fort Lowell, and how do we do these reviews in a objective and in a way that's unbiased, right? So that basically when we interpret our guidelines, so let me just read this. This can be as simple as going through the guidelines and interpreting each item. So just coming up with how each of us interpret it, coming to an agreement on how those guidelines should be interpreted, looking at case examples from the past. So those that have gone well, those that have gone unfavorably, and why. Another way to educate ourselves would be to recruit experts. And if anybody has ideas on this, I'd really like to hear them. But to recruit experts to help us better understand the complexity of architectural styles in Fort Lowell and how specific elements of these styles differ from those that are not found within our neighborhood. So I think we got to stop. I hate to say it, but I think we got to stop sort of taking a freebie whenever we don't have an agenda item. And we need to start educating ourselves and saying that, you know, we've really got to put our nose to the grindstone about understanding our own designs. So that when somebody comes, we can very concretely say, here's why that doesn't work, or why it does work. So, does anyone have comments up till now?
I do too. And I've got to leave in about 10 minutes. So yeah. Let me, if you don't mind.
Yep.
About the receipt of the plans a week before, is that doable? I mean, because I know you guys have statutory limitations on.
I think the code says the agenda has to be posted
24 hours. Which yeah.
Right, to really review anything. We have been aiming, and for the most part, we've been getting things up about a week in advance. This summer, you know, Michael was gone for 5 weeks, and so I was left to my own devices there for about a month.
And how long have you been with the city of Tucson?
About 5 months.
Yeah. So thank you for doing that.
But yeah, but otherwise, we have been getting things out about a week in advance. So we have been improving generally that. And now we have more staff, and so we can split up the advisory boards, right? I mean, we have a lot of meetings. We have about 2 public meetings a week on average. There are some weeks we have 4. And so it's challenging, but I think with the added staff, it will get better. Mm-hmm. So I think a week should be good.
So I think the main thing is that if we include it as a rule of procedure, then we are allowed to say we won't review it, right? As far as my reading of the UDC goes, right? Like, so if we make it a rule of our organization, then it doesn't come within a week. We can say, okay, next time.
That's probably a Dan question. I do also know, though, I think you can only
raising his hand.
Just keep that in mind that if you use that continuance, then you might not be able to use it for like
a stand. This wouldn't, I don't think this would be a continuance in this case. This would be just where we don't have the tools to review it, right? So it's like we couldn't even start. So,
but the city should have reviewed that to know whether all of those items, all of those criteria have been met before it's turned over to the review.
Let's
see if Dan has that.
Yeah,
let's listen to
our zoning guy. Hi, guys. I have a feeling that even if you end up putting it into the rules of procedure, you still have to adhere to the Unified Development Code. Let us, what we can do is run it by our city attorney to see how that might work. And see whether or not that actually works. I have a feeling it might not be able to. It doesn't mean that we don't want, like, in all reality, getting it to you a week ahead of time is something we should be striving for and should be doing anyways. And so as Desiree said, you know, I think as we get more people on board, as we start to get things organized and actually work on other process improvements, we should be able to hit that mark. But I also, I'm happy to reach out to our city attorneys and pose the question, and we can report back to you guys.
If you could do that, I'll follow up with you, you know, in a bit, or if you can follow up.
So the question really is, you're trying to operate differently than the other boards.
This is agnostic to how the other boards operate. The goal is basically to have enough time to prepare.
I'm talking about, but you have rules of, if we don't get this, we're not going to cooperate on the review, right?
No, it's not about cooperation. It's about having the time to prepare. So, like, we're happy to cooperate.
But your actual procedure, this procedure you want to instate as a rule, right? The preparation items aside from...
That's a separate thing. So this application presentation rubric is just a guide for applicants, right? What I'm saying is that the application package, whatever we are receiving, you know, whatever we're reviewing, right, whether that be a complete presentation or not, whatever the applicant is asking us to review, we would like to receive a week in advance so that we can sit with the plans, right? Yeah. So I'm not saying we want to change, you know, inherently, we're not going to accept it a week in advance without this. This is another component that comes further along in the process when the meeting's actually running, right? So, the first point is we want to be able to prepare, so we need it a week in advance. The second thing is, okay, what of this checklist did you actually go through? And are we able to review a full application, or is this a partial application? And if it's partial, how partial? And how much?
Incomplete. That's the second part.
Incomplete.
That's the second part of my question is, when you don't get all the components and the things haven't been delivered either, you know, part of the plan, development zone hasn't been delivered, but you're presented with an application. Can you accept part of it? As I understand it, you can accept part of it and make another part of it come back or contingent with a minor review, but it wouldn't be another full review, right? I mean, this is what we were up against with, you know, the last 2 years, is that we would say we need this and this and this. There would be an agreement. We'd come back a month later. That wouldn't have been delivered, right? And there was no intention to deliver it.
No.
So that's where we got stuck. And it's like, we either have to accept it, reject it, accept it or reject it, or accept it with conditions. And some of those conditions could have been like, you don't know what you're going to do with this wall yet, or with, you know, with this window. But when you come back with that window, it needs to come back to this board for color type or whatever it happens to come back for. Right.
So
there's no enforcement of that is the problem.
Right. So that's what I was about to say. I think that's another issue that is certainly one of the things that I have written up in some capacity in the that community engagement agenda item, right? Mm-hmm. That's something I think we do need to deal with at some point, is how, you know,
I mean,
how these things are handled on the back end.
Even the city projects have come, like, we don't really know what we're up against here until we get into it, right? So those things came back as minor reviews, which is fine. But we don't know what the decision was after that. There isn't any continuity on that big $4 million project that this board gets to even engage in unless there's a minor review.
So not to get too far into the weeds, this is more of a, excuse the term, but a prophylaxis. This is the ideal conditions which we would be presented an application. That's what I'm getting at, right? Here's the meeting format. Here's the presentation format. Here's the checklist. Do those things meet these certain criteria, right? That's the goal. And did we get it far enough in advance we could actually look at it for a long enough time? Then there's the back end of this, which I think is another discussion we certainly need to have of, okay, how are minor reviews brought back to the board so that the board is made?
Reviews. I think we go a whole different step when we go to minor reviews. I think we should stick
with it. And so, how is enforcement handled when a decision is made, right? These are all problems that are certainly, certainly out there and have been happening and unfortunately have not been addressed in full. They're certainly getting better, I think, thanks to our city officials, but they are in dire need of kind of a change of process on the back end as well. And I don't know that my goal today is to sort of discuss the front end, right? So when an application is received, and how we conduct our meetings and how we expect the applicant to conduct their presentation.
And I'm stuck on the number.
Yeah.
You know, I'm stuck on this number of, so we need it on Monday or we're not going to review. To me, that puts such a hard stop on something that maybe doesn't need a hard stop.
What do you mean?
Why can't it come on Tuesday? Why can't it
come
on Wednesday? You're
saying 7 days before is too hard of a number?
I think the city's under a different pressure than we are, or else I truly believe we would have had things so much more, you know, so much
let
earlier.
Me ask a question. When does the PRS get it? They always seem to have been able to have review.
I mean, since I've been here, that was one of the first changes I made, was creating an agenda. We meet weekly to go over upcoming meetings and items on the agenda, creating, you know, deadlines for posting. So it's a week for everybody. It's all the same.
So is a week reasonable then?
Yeah, that's what we're aiming for. I mean, it's different. I think when we're saying it's like a hard, you know, requirement. But that is what we're aiming for.
I think my goal in saying it's a rule of process is not to say, oh yes, it has to be a hard number. It's more that that gives us enough time to review it, because some of us are working professionals who I frankly, when the weekend rolls around, if I get it on Friday, there's no way in hell I'm reviewing it on the weekend.
That's right. And they don't want to put it out Friday.
And so,
tell you.
Right. And so if it came on Wednesday, maybe. If it came on Tuesday, maybe. If it came a week in advance, I can say, okay, I can make time for that for sure. Right. I can carve out that time. If I know there's going to be something to be reviewed, or even if I don't, if it comes on Monday, that gives me time to change my schedule so I can plan it. Right.
And the other piece with that, Desiree, does it have to come on Monday with the agenda? Could it come, if you've got it tomorrow morning, could you give it to us tomorrow for next month's meeting? I'm just, you know, so that way, if it's a big plan, I mean, there's some.
Because we need to get other people involved. I mean, we don't have an architect. And, so we have to be able to pull an architect in to look at plans. And that means for some of our architects that are in this neighborhood, taking it to Kinko's and getting printed, because they want it hard copy, and then they'll come back and participate, which is really helpful.
I'm not sure if we can send things when they're not on the agenda.
Are they available online? That is the question. Are those plans available before review?
I mean, generally, we try to put the agenda up and the materials, you know, as soon as possible. I think it'll be, like I said, will be more feasible now that we have more staff, you know, as time. We need a little bit of time to catch up because we're dealing with the backlog, right?
Are they on TDC Online? Are the plans available, too? Because that was something when TDC Online first came up, and we talked about that they're really, as board members, we're not contacts. You can't see anything until it's actually been, you know, put into another stage.
Things that are made public, but I don't think like plans that are in the review process are public. They're made public once they're approved and we put them public.
So I think
that's another way to do it. Let me finish this idea, is that is to allow at least a chair of a board who has a stake, who is a stakeholder, who is appointed for this review, to be able to go into a plan. You say, you're going to have a plan in 2 weeks. Maybe you can take a look at it. And then there has to be some agreement that the chair at least is going to take a look at it and say, oh, this is going to be a big case for us. We have to make sure that everybody's been able to review it before we get it. And I don't know what the rules are around that system, but it seems reasonable.
I think the long and short of it is I have not heard anybody on this board say they need less time to prepare, right? Or that the time allotted has been sufficient. Every case we've reviewed so far since I've been here has been, maybe not every case, but at least the vast majority has been not enough time to prepare. And this is making it a rule of procedure, whether the city attorney agrees or not, that's really what it comes down to. Making it a rule of procedure makes it so, you know, we get it with enough advance.
Right.
And I hate to say it, but all the other components of that, how it comes to us, in what way, if it goes to the chair first, all this stuff, I don't mean to sound, I don't mean to put it bluntly, but I'm going to. That's the city's problem. So, yeah.
Thanks, Elaine.
But the other thing, the only other comment I have is, we're not the only board that has this problem.
Yeah.
That you guys have worked at other places where certainly there are other solutions. But... Mm-hmm.
And we're open for
and you can
solutions.
Dan can. Will lock the place up.
Dan will lock it up. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
So, any case, yeah, Dan, if you could let us know what you hear from the city attorney when you've approached them about that. And hopefully that is something that can happen one way or another, because it's definitely to our detriment if it doesn't.
Sure. Yeah, we'll take a look at it, and we can always, we'll talk internally about potential ways to ensure that you're getting documents in a timely fashion, so you feel comfortable doing so. So yeah, we can hopefully discuss and maybe come up with some other suggestions and things of that sort to hopefully help you along with that too.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great.
And Dan, are you writing these up? Did you have them written, right?
Everything I've said has been written down. And
because one of the other components of that is we are obligated, if we have items that need to go on, that the city needs to be notified.
Yeah, sure.
More than a week beforehand as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have to be sure that that piece goes in there.
Yeah.
In there.
So, if I can just go back now to switch gears again, back to this meeting rubric, I'd like to read through it just to make sure that everybody's, make sure everybody's on board with it. And if anybody disagrees with it or has amendments, I'd really like to hear your opinions about it. But I think this is a good starting point, at least, of how our meetings ought to be run so that everybody, every applicant gets the same treatment. So there'd be a call to order, of course, and we'll be again recording. There's a roll call. You can, we can freeze through this part. Review and approval of the minutes, the LAR. And then finally with the presentation, this is the part I think that needs to be really scripted, frankly. So first presentation is case ID. We read the case ID. We say the applicant regarding the property at address, applicant's name, ask them what their affiliation with the property is. Ask if city staff have any relevant background information. The applicant can then present their case. And this is where things, I think, need to be really the same every time, is that we don't say anything throughout. We don't make any comment about whether something is good, bad, ugly, in between, until the end. We only ask questions for clarification. We allow the applicant to complete or to present their complete presentation. Once they are done presenting, then we can discuss that in an open forum with them. And this is something we should tell every applicant before they present, right? Say, okay, you're now be allowed to present. Board members will only have questions for clarification. We'll save everything else for the end. Upon completion of the presentation, the board will discuss the contents of the application in an open forum. Oh, it says applicant. Sorry, I missed the typo there. The applicant will then be asked to withhold any further comment while the board deliberates. Once the decision is reached, the board will vote to accept or reject the application package. So it's not dissimilar to what we do in some ways, but this is, I think our discussions become derailed sometimes by, you know, our views on how something ought to be done or how the application should be or so. I think it's perfectly fine to ask for clarification, but we should give everybody the same floor to speak on, and we should give them the same amount of time, right? So then this kind of crosses over into this presentation rubric briefly, which I'll go over in a second. But if the presentation rubric can be adopted, which I'm hoping it can, given that it's only a copy, more or less, a descriptive copy of the checklist that's posted on the city's website. If they don't follow that rubric, we can ask them to please get back on track, basically. Remind them that the rubric exists, say, oh, what about this? What about that? Can you please go in order of these presentation items? And if they continue to sort of ignore that presentation rubric, if they continue to ignore the items that are required for an application, for instance, and this is touching on, you know, points I think that everybody on the board brought up from what happened last time around. Basically, if they don't have a complete presentation, if they're not presenting things that are on that checklist and or that are the development zone is not properly defined, things like this, we can ask the applicant, would you like to continue next time or would you like us to vote now in lieu of a complete application? And I think that is a very fair way to handle when we don't have all of the materials we need, rather than it seeming like we have a dog in this fight, rather than it seeming like we're, you know, upset about it or emotional about it. This is an unbiased way to say, look, this isn't what you were asked to present, and we need you to present that or we can't review it in full. And then following additional agenda items, the second page of this is just some recommendations for how to make motions and how we should go about, whether the motion is to accept or reject. The second page of this is not so much our procedure as it is a strong suggestion of how to do that. But the first page I would like to adopt is procedure, rules of procedure. Any comments? Or concerns or questions or otherwise?
Yeah, Dan, if I may.
Yeah.
I've read over that last paragraph several times.
On which page?
Oh, I'm sorry, on the meeting rubric on page
starting
one.
Starting with if the applicant does not follow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And maybe I should wait to see the presentation rubric, which I haven't seen yet.
That's okay. Go for it, David.
Okay. I guess beginning with upon the third incidence, and the presentation, close the discussion, ask the applicant whether they would like to return at a later date or proceed with the vote despite having an incomplete presentation. I'm wondering from the applicant's point of view. How to think this out? I wouldn't. I mean, I would certainly want to encourage them if there are points in the rubric that they haven't addressed. Now, whether or not they follow, you know, the map from A to Z precisely is a little bit less of a concern to me than whether or not.
I think I know exactly what you mean. And what I would say to that is what I mean by politely remind them about it is exactly that. So basically, if they're approaching the end of their presentation, they haven't touched on rhythm, they haven't touched on color materials, they haven't touched on landscaping, they have, like, if there's several points missing, we can say, do you want to speak to these points? Right. And
That's what that's what I would like
so
to kind of, I
that's why
guess.
this part of this is not in quotes. It's just to say that, whatever element of this rubric may be missing, we can say, hey, I don't think you covered site utilization. Can you go back and let us know? Maybe if you wouldn't mind, if there's a way to edit that so it reflects what you're saying, that'd be great,
It just it, it maybe it is just maybe it is just a kind of rhetorical outcome for me, because it does sound as if it's a kind of right stray from the rubric. Get back in line here. So, which I don't mind. That would be actually quite fun. But yeah, I think it's right. It's more of an issue of making sure that they have, or at least making clear the expectation is that they will cover, again, without having seen the rubric, but cover all of the issues
So
within it.
why don't we jump to that actually, because that may help to
Could I, could
clarify.
I, could I, and so maybe building on that, I guess the other part that I paused here about is, so, right, ask the applicant whether they'd like to return at a later date, right, if they haven't, right, to our mind, satisfactorily covered, right, all of the rubric points or a sufficient number of them. How would we, so we could proceed with the vote despite an incomplete presentation. Would we, I guess it, yeah.
So
I mean, I
the
guess we could
issue,
make the determination, well, you forgot this, but it's not that important,
or make it a
or.
condition as well, right? So you can say we can vote on this with the condition that they tell us what color they're going to make the wall,
Yeah,
right?
maybe that would be, because I
That
sort of
kind
say,
of.
it might put them in a position to say, oh, well, the hell with you, just vote on it, right? I
Yeah, no,
don't, it
I
sort
guess
of puts
the.
them in a kind of an oppositional, I guess, frame of mind possible. But I like how you just said that right now, but maybe that could
Right. So
somehow.
maybe that needs to be added to this rubric, is that, you'd say some of these things may be able to be if something is missing, we can address that with a conditional approval or a conditional so on.
I guess just to make it a little bit more inviting that, yeah, okay, you may not have everything there, but you have the opportunity to supplement your presentation by,
So I think this is more for if multiple elements are missing or incomplete, then we need a way to say in a very clear and unbiased manner, this is why we can't continue.
And I would say if there are that number of missing dimensions from the rubric, I certainly wouldn't want to vote on it as a board member,
Well, I
right?
think that's the only problem is if it's an action item, we have to. So we can't,
Well, we
we,
could vote
as far as
to,
I
I mean,
know,
we could
we can
vote to
continue it.
table it, right? We could vote
We
to
can
are we
continue.
allowed to request a continuance? Because my understanding was that the applicant had to request the continuance.
You can continue the item
We can
once.
directly. Okay.
If you continue it, want to continue it a second time, the applicant has to be okay with that.
Okay. So yeah, that might be, I can change that so that we
Yeah.
can, I thought the applicant had to ask. That's why it's worded the way it is. Yeah. But
Sounds
we
good.
can, we'll make it so that basically if not all the items are there, we'll vote to continue the applications to the next discussion and ask the applicant to be prepared with those missing items the next time around.
Sounds
Okay,
good.
Margo, did you have anything?
No, I think I guess my only point would be this is where the complimentary pre-review would come in handy to discuss with the applicant the items that are important to cover.
Right.
True.
Well, and my comment is that some of these need to be explained because, like, for example, I think that we would go through and state, these are the items, what are there, 10 or something? These are the 10 items we are going to be looking for that would be part of the meeting rubric for on the very first page. These are the items we're going to be looking at. And give the person, so we're going to be looking at your development zone. We're going to be looking at your setbacks. We're going to be looking at the structure for, you know, color materials, rhythm. They may not address rhythm because who knows what it is.
I know.
We know in our emotional set about our neighborhood what rhythm means. But as far as that person, like what did the pool need to have rhythm for?
Well, this is why I mean, it says it on the checklist too, indicate proportions, patterns, and rhythm of opening. So for instance, in that development zone, what do most of the openings and walls look like, right? What do the gates look like? Do the gates meet the edge of the wall? Do they drop down? Does the wall continue at the same height? Does it change heights? You know, that's rhythm, right? And so I think, yes, maybe explaining these things, these items more succinctly to applicants would help a lot. But, you know, I think it's pretty much, if we put it in black and white like this, like they can, I don't know that there's a lot of ways you can misinterpret it. You know what I mean? That's the goal.
But I think, I don't know, unless they have the paperwork in front of them.
Well, so this is the next thing is, as a rule of procedure to adopt a presentation rubric, this will require potentially the city to post this alongside the checklist. And then we wonder, A, is that possible? And B, if so, how do we go about doing it? Right. So why don't we go through this real quick just to touch on the main points. And if you can look at the checklist side by side with the rubric, I sent that out as well. Just to read the heading here, or the opening paragraph, an applicant's presentation to the design review board must include the following points. These elements must be incorporated for the application to be considered by the HPZ board. If they cannot be addressed, it is unlikely that the application will be approved. So description of the development zone, clearly labeled setbacks, utilization, building structure, rhythm, color materials, landscaping, enclosures, utilities, parking, signs, and then goes on to say, this is not an exhaustive list. It is strongly advised that the applicant utilize the resource checklists for applicants and boards available from the City of Tucson website. If a project includes other elements of this checklist, the board will ask the applicant to elaborate on how those elements are designed to harmonize with the development zone and existing structures. So this is a sort of exactly what it says at the top, rubric. And nothing else, right? This is just for them to have something to go off of. What would be ideal is to have a slide template that could be presented with this online, right? So here's the presentation rubric. These are the elements you need to have. You don't want to make a slideshow, no big deal. Just make sure these are in your presentation, right? But most people make slideshows. Here's a set of slides that have a slide for each one of these elements, right? And then we're not lost in the weeds trying to flip back and forth through their application package and be like, well, hold on, where's the setback? Where's the development zone? And what about the landscaping? And, you know, that's what happened at least 80% of the cases I've been here for. We're always kind of fumbling around with it. And part of that is not having enough time to review, but part of it is also that other than this checklist, there's no suggestion of how the applicant should go about presenting these items. And I think there really needs to be. So if you have, you know, again, if you have amendments, changes, edits, please let me know. And, you know, again, I'd really like to have this. I'd like to have these three items, the meeting rubric, the presentation rubric, and the preparation requirements included as rules of procedure in the next meeting. So to make that an agenda item, vote on it.
What's the third one that you said?
Preparation requirements. So having a week to the document sphere, but I can send it to you, Desiree, and I sent it to those on Zoom. It's what I read earlier, that short little. And if there are other preparation requirements, right? So that's another thing. If somebody has a suggestion of something else we need in order to do these reviews that I missed, then, you know, I think that should go under our preparation requirements. What do we need ahead of time to know? To make sure that we're doing a complete review.
I'll just add that, I'm new, we have other new staff. We also are having our own internal conversations. Yeah. Now, some of these things are administrative, right? They're not Like these are development zone height setbacks, right? They're all in the code, but there are some procedural things that it's kind of just, how we do business. Mm-hmm. And so we are looking at those checklists
mm-hmm.
as well. And then there's also the commission also created a subcommittee to look at process and procedures. So I just want to make sure that we're all collaborating so we're not kind of, doubling or.
No, I'm happy to. Yeah, it'd be great if we could get your input and the city's input on all this. It's just basically my goal is to, and I hope my fellow board members agree, to avoid what happened last time.
Yes, that was bad.
Yeah, try to get to a point where the applicant doesn't feel alienated. We don't feel as though we haven't been provided with the right. We haven't been given enough preparation time. We haven't been provided with the right materials. The application package is lacking in certain items or drawn incorrectly in other places. You know, we want to be able to get to a point where applicants feel comfortable that they're not going to be blindsided when they get here, and that we're not going to be blindsided by an application that's lacking. Right. And then you've got two parties who are like, hold on, well, wait, you didn't do this. Well, wait, hold on.
And I would say, like, it's pretty typical for staff to do pre-application meetings, but that's in our code. Doing that because we haven't had staff capacity to do that. And so things come to the committees maybe when they're not ready or haven't been as carefully. We just haven't had the capacity, staff capacity to kind of tend to each case how it needs to be.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that we're looking at is looking at pre-application meetings to be able to go over all these things with applicants before, the very early stages before they even apply, so that they know what's required. So we can kind of, go over any red flags, like height is not going to work or size is not going to work, right? And give them that initial feedback. So that's one thing that we're looking at, looking like this checklist, to me it's a little repetitive, so I have a new draft that sort of combines things that are repetitive.
This checklist, she's talking about the resource checklist.
Resource checklist for applicants and review boards.
So I only included the first set of items there, really. I think these I think these in the top here are pretty. These are the critical elements of an application, right? And then there's other components of this that go on throughout this checklist that may or may not need to be discussed, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, we don't require all of, I don't think we need to require all of those in a presentation rubric, but having just the basics of, like you were saying, height setbacks, site utilization, all these things. So that's why I didn't include the rest of it. It's just,
I think that makes sense. I like the presentation rubric as well. My only thought is, some of the things to my use point, people might not, like, not everyone is a professional, not everyone's a preservationist, so they might not understand everything. And sometimes we get things in applications, people will say things that just aren't accurate, like they'll say in-kind replacement, it's not an in-kind replacement, but they might not know what that means, right? Or they might be fabricating, right? So I think it is our responsibility to be the ones to do the analysis and to, we should probably be the ones to say, okay, is the rhythm, are these rhythms appropriate, right? Versus, say, color materials, that's something that they should provide. So, so there might be some things that we...
So just to address maybe rhythm as an example, right? Whether or not the rhythm is appropriate is one of the things we're reviewing, as far as I see our role. All this is asking for is that it's there, right? So here, show us the rhythm of other walls. So even if it's just photos, I don't know what the hell rhythm is, but I think it has something to do with proportions and patterns. So here's some other walls. We're doing a wall. That's it, right? And most of these applications do have those things included, right? So I don't think it's, but if there's a way to word this to make it more approachable to lay people who are doing this for the first time, then if we could work with you to devise some wording, just something that gets them to a point where I'd like this to be an educational document, I guess is what I'm getting at, right? So regardless of whether they are whether they do their homework and come to you and have you help them interpret each of these things, I would like them to be able to start to interpret them regardless. And that way, if there is an application where they didn't have time to come to you, or if the city wasn't able to, or if, you know, low staff, or what if somebody's on vacation, whatever the case may be, they still have something to present to us, right? They still know at least vaguely what that should mean, and we can help them guide them during the meeting, you know? So if you have ways to word these things or to expand on them, that'd be super. Yeah.
One of the other things that I'm going back to the meeting rubric, that the meeting rubric states in there that these are the items. So whether, because it becomes a checklist for each of us, for each of the board members to say, and we're not experts at everything, but each of us kind of has a niche that we are comfortable talking about. And for example, Margo, you might be our pool queen.
Well, but I don't know about that.
Or the demolition queen.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who's got experience with that. So you may have a different way of looking at this and have that in your wheelhouse to begin with. Eventually we would all get it, but for me, that we would take that, I think that rhythm is something that Briggs just is totally, has a total concept for her about that I don't understand completely. And so each of us being able to make sure that that piece has been met for us, you know, I'm really concerned about what I consider setbacks and what that means to me.
Yeah.
So I think that if we can each have this in front of us so that we're sure we've covered every one of them within our area of interest and concerns.
So that's another, I mean, that's a good point, is that, you know, I think Damien gave us a training lecture, as it were, right before I joined.
It was a long time
ago. And he brought this checklist, this resource checklist from the city that's published on the city site. And something I think we've been neglecting to do is we should have this checklist in front of us every time we see a presentation, regardless whether there's an expert in the room or not.
But
we, you know, if
somebody who has a care.
Right. And so, I mean, I think, and to sort of speak further to, oh yes, there's somebody who has experience with this and there's somebody else who has experience with that. I think we as a board need to get to the point, if that's the case, we should ask that person to educate the board on that topic. We need to be self-educating to the point where if that person was not present, the same decision would be made.
Right.
And that I think means that if Briggs has a experience with rhythm, let's ask Briggs to do a presentation about rhythm. Pools, Margo maybe could do something about pools, you know what I mean? Whatever it is. And if maybe we can invite architects, designers, whoever to come help us from a more you know, storied professional side of things, that would be great too. But I think that, you know, this is a good first step toward making things consistent across every application presentation. The second step is making sure that we have a firm grasp of our guidelines. And the third step is making sure we're educated enough that regardless of who it is presenting it, regardless of when it's presented, who among the board are reviewing it, the same decision has come to, because that this is how those guidelines are interpreted. This is how that application fits within those guidelines. So all of these elements are, I think, critical to getting to a point where we don't have meetings like last month.
Further discussion on this?
Yeah, I just want to make clear that I do have rhythm. So anybody needs some, I can got extra to give away here. Dan, I just want to applaud this. I just think this is,
I agree,
is really needed. And I think he is going to make our work, more organized, more codified, more
Enjoyable.
enjoyable. Yeah, I
Yeah.
agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. So kudos to you, and thank you so
That's
much
beautiful. I appreciate
for
your
pointing
help. Yeah.
us in a real concrete way forward here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
I really appreciate it, Dan.
Yeah.
The I think our next step is, for example, there's some changes to the meeting rubric,
Yeah.
but in general, I feel like I can adopt this.
Yeah.
And wonder, do we need to go to another step? Is it just that we make an
Well,
agreement?
I think if we're going to adopt these rules of procedure, we do probably need to vote on it, since that's going to be how we do it.
How we fund it.
How and it, the other thing is, a rule of procedure also needs to be presented to the city clerk and the planning development services for publication. So that's something that needs to be made publicly available. So I think voting on it is critical. We cannot do that today, as far as I know, because it was not an action item on the agenda, but we can make it an action item for next time. And that was my goal. So,
Yeah, I think they should also be published online too. Because
yeah.
these are public meetings. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
So with that said, if you all would mind taking a half hour or so just to go through these and make any changes and send them to me, I'd really appreciate it. And then, if you maybe can tell me how we can go about publishing them, and the expectations of what are appropriate expectations to have in these documents and so on, that would be really helpful. Yeah, so.
If you want to vote on for your next meeting, well, it's a week before, so we would need them prior to a week before, so we could get
Okay.
that.
Sure. So, I don't know if everybody heard that, but we'd need to have all changes in a week before the next meeting. So,
We need to get these to Dan in 2 weeks, right?
yeah,
Then
sure.
you
So
have a
actually, that'd be
week.
great. Two weeks from now, if you could send me any changes, I'd really appreciate it. And then that way I can,
You have a week to
compile
do it.
them, send them to Desiree. Yeah.
Okay, great. Anything else on this topic? No? Okay. Anything else? I agree most of the time that we should meet if we have something of value to discuss and making that happen. I need to ask Desiree, one of the things. So if we bring in an architect to do some training, or we bring Damien back in to do some training with us, we can't meet without that public meeting notice. Does it mean that city staff always needs to be there?
That's a good question.
Because I have
Depends
no problem
personally
with you being
determining.
there, but it seems
Yeah,
like.
I think we do need to be because it's a public meeting and it's part of the code and it's
Yeah.
open subject to open meeting law. I think staff does need to have a presence, but I mean we might maybe we could like in a meeting like that where it's more of a training, do we physically need to be here? I don't know.
Zoom
We
in,
could,
yeah.
zoom in. But I think we do need to be. So yeah. I
I mean,
mean, there have
we're
been a few meetings where I did ask me really like what we don't have reviews and we're
yeah.
very behind on other things, and it
Right.
does take some
Well,
time
yeah.
to prepare and then to do follow up and everything. So I yeah, if there's something that is of value and
Well, I will
it's
say
worth it.
we are obligated under the UDC to have at least one training meeting a year anyway. And I think, I don't know if we've done that this year yet, so we should probably do one of these soon. And that might at least ignite the fire to do it again and have plan for the next one. And maybe we could do it once every 3 months, as time allows, something like that. So.
Okay. Are there specific items that you want to be have like as a training?
I think pretty much, if you were to go through this checklist, right, and ask each board member, if you did a blind experiment where each board member was asked in isolation what to define each of these and then describe an example, they would all be different. And so what I think we really need is, the first thing is the interpretation of the UDC. right? Is to say, okay, what is height, and give us examples of height and setbacks and site usage, so on. The second thing, which I think may or may not be a self-education thing, but is just as critical, is if we go into our guidelines, how do each of us interpret each of those points in the guidelines? And assuming that they get published soon.
Well, that's it. We do need some idea about when the new guidelines are coming, because we should have one meeting that is a review of the newest guidelines.
And so to be on the same page about how our guidelines, so, you know, every legal document I've ever seen, as far as like the UDC is, you know, the Registrar of Contractors has one. Everybody has an interpretation document that goes along with the law, so to speak. And I think we maybe don't need a separate document per se for our guidelines, but we do need to have an interpretation so that we're all on the same page, so that we don't interpret something differently for different applications inadvertently. That's the second thing. The third thing that would be really helpful, which I think, you know, this is, it's harder to do because it requires, you know, some knowing someone to do it, is professionals to educate us. And I may have said this earlier, but to educate us about, you know, what are specific architectural designs? So what is Pueblo Revival architecture and how does it fit in Fort Lowell? What is, you know, Spanish colonial? What is, you know, all these different architectural styles, and how are they found in Fort Lowell, and how is that different from how they're found in Barrio Viejo or in, you know, and that's one component. Another big one that I'd really like to do is have experts in materials come in and describe. So for instance, if somebody wanted to paint their, you know, lime stucco bright pink, well, first of all, you can't paint lime stucco. Why? Right. Well, because if you put paint on lime stucco, you trap water, that causes adobe degradation. So, you know, that's one small element of how adobe systems, mud adobe systems work. And if we had somebody come in who's been doing this, say, you know, Eric Means, come in and give us a lecture about how an adobe system is meant to go together. The next time somebody comes with an application saying, well, I want to put this addition on, but I'm not going to use adobe, I'm going to use CMU and concrete stucco, and I'm going to tie it into the adobe, and we need to be able to say why that's not going to work, right? And so that's, yeah.
Cool. Okay. Do you think there's a chance we will be getting the design review guidelines from y'all?
I know that Terry is still looking at them. Staff, we do want to look at them, but there we have at least three or four different neighborhood design guidelines. It takes time.
I know.
I know there's a lot of, there's a lot, right? We're onboarding three new staff people within my health. And there's a lot of different things going on. So we sort of need to, you know, prioritize. And I know that is something that all the boards have been asking us about, but design guidelines are, you know, they're a big thing. Mm-hmm. So I want to give them the attention that they need. So.
David has to leave at 7. So I think that means we need to wrap up because we lose our quorum.
Okay. Thank you, David. okay. Well, that is something that I'd like to see us. I think that's really important for whatever's coming next.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, can't go backwards. So we can, if there's a motion, and wait, let me read it. Yeah. It is time to end. If there has been, do we need a motion to end, or can we just say we're done?
I think you can say you're done. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we can say we're done. No.
Yeah. By
chair decree.
It just be adjourned.
Adjournment. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Good. Thank you all. See you.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Of course. Bye.